What in the world is happening at Fort Benning the day after? Hi, I'm Jerry Pippin. Nancy and Kim, along with at least one of their husbands, an active duty soldier, went up to Sand Hill last night, and we never heard another thing from them. Just before broadcast time, we got an email from Nancy saying that she couldn't go on. Something terrible happened on Sand Hill. Even her husband is afraid. They're too fearful to continue. Now, I don't know what to make of that. Let's bring in Roxy and John. That's John Vasquez and Roxy Lopez. And Roxy and John, what do you two make of this?
Well, I think it's got to be supernatural or a definite encounter with something, you know, UFO, definitely. Or I don't think it's military. Military doesn't have anything that advanced right now, you know. And, Jerry, you know that.
John, I'm really not sure what we have and what we don't have, but the point is well taken. Now, Roxy, she was in touch with you, sending you text messages just before they got up to the Sand Hill section, that deserted area of Fort Benning, right?
You know how that went. She called me that afternoon, and we had about an hour conversation, and we went over the game plan. And then she texted me again and asked me if this was my cell phone, and I said yes. And then a few minutes later texted me again and said, you know, that they were having early sightings. The sightings were now like 3 hours early that they were seeing from their house, apparently. And I said, get a picture. And she said, yeah, we need to borrow a camera. And I said, get a picture. And then the next thing, I got a phone call from a gal named Kim. And Kim was calling me from Nancy's cell phone. And I could hear Nancy in the background, and they were just basically calling me, and it was early, too early for them to be going over to the spot that they were going to go over to, that they've been being called to, and they were not frantic, I wouldn't say that, but they were sort of busy, and Kim said, let me call you right back, because Nancy was trying to tell her something, but Nancy wanted her to call to say that, you know, we're about 2 minutes away. And that's where we have left off. There has been no contact since. I text messaged, you know, a little while later to say, you know, hey, did you guys get the camera? How you guys doing? Didn't hear anything back. Then I waited a couple hours, and I said, are you okay? And I never got anything back. And that was Monday, and today's Wednesday, so...
Well, I had asked her repeatedly by email if she was having a supernatural experience, or could this be something from the military, black operations or something. Never got an answer. John, you don't think it's military at all, do you?
Well, the way she sounded on the phone, and she is military, ex-military, and the way she explained it is that, I mean... She knows what planes and helicopters look like because she was in the military and working on these project, whatever her MOS.
John and Roxy, I really don't think we can urge the audience enough to get involved here. If you're listening and you are stationed at Fort Benning, or you've been there recently, or you know what we're talking about, you have some firsthand knowledge, contact us. Just email me at jerry@jerrypippin.com. And on our Contact or Us page on jerrypippin.com, we also have my phone number.
Yeah, so she knows. She knows what, you know, these planes and helicopters look like.
I don't know, John and Roxy. Maybe we need to put an ad someplace. Maybe in the Columbus newspaper.
Well, Jerry, you know that Channel 9 News in Columbus, Georgia, back in, what was it, November 28, 2006, apparently did a segment on a crashed UFO. The police department, the fire department, FAA, and personnel from Fort Benning, I guess, found something there because the guys in Fort Benning took it away on a truck.
Yeah, I remember when they put that on the air, you sent me a link to it. their video.
They have something like a film, like a interview with the police department, you know, FAA and fire department. They never got close to any military personnel at all, but they were there. But then in Columbus, Georgia, they have that clip.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Video clip.
Well, one of the things I want to add to it, I think that's a fabulous idea to run an ad, and I'll tell you why. I know for one that when I spoke with her, she made it very clear to me several times that many, many people have seen these objects, crafts, whatever you want to call them, in the sky inside of Fort Benning. So she's not the only one. She knows quite a few people. And, you know, was going to, you know, try to talk to some other people to see. So she feels that how close these things fly in, that pretty much anyone can see them. If you're on the base, you can see them. That's how large they are as well. So I don't know. I think that maybe some people will come forward now that we already have some witnesses. Maybe other people will be inclined to be able to share their stories with us. I would hope so.
John, you've been living with this story for a long time. How do you feel about these developments?
Well, it's mind-boggling to me because, you know, I've been working on this project since 1977, and I've been trying to explain to everybody I talk to, even the interviews that I have, that this project happened back in September 2nd, 1977. And the word is, it's, you know, I keep getting the respond, you know, John, you're the one that's talking about this, and you're the only one. Where's the rest of the people? Well, you know, I'm trying to look for the people that I lost contact with, and now, up to date, as of today, as we are talking to each other, there's something going on, the same object.
John, have you ever seen a yearbook or something from 1977 at Fort Benning of the permanent party there or something?
I tried to get the names, rosters.
Something, you know, a yearbook or a graduating class book or something. I know when I was in the Army, they used to have things like that.
Yeah, right. And you know what the explanation that I got when I was requesting that information from Freedom of Information Act in the Inspector General's office? They told me, try, Fort Benjamin, I think it was, which is in...
Yeah, Fort Benjamin Harrison, right outside Indianapolis. I was stationed there for a little while. It's where they keep all the personnel records of everybody in the Army.
Right, and they have all the check stubs, names, rosters, and you know, I asked the guys over there that I just want names. They came back with a response saying that, no, we can't release that. We can't release that.
Then why in hell are we, you know, spending taxpayer dollars for manpower and facilities to save these records if they can't release them? Give me a break. Did you tell them, John, that this was your unit? You were in it?
Yeah, I told them where I was, what department I was in, what unit, how many people were there, and all I was asking is the name. I didn't ask him for their telephone number or address or social security number, just a name.
John, what reason did you give them for wanting the information?
Well, it's because I was trying to find my friends. I didn't go into details about UFOs.
Well, yeah, sometimes you got to stretch a troop to get anybody to cooperate with you, unfortunately.
No, I didn't. I just want the names.
Roxy Lopez, you're now involved. So what's your next step?
Well, at first I wanted to just say something that somebody else had brought up to me that really made sense to me. This happened in 1977, and to date no one has come forward or been able to disprove John's story. So John has the floor as far as I'm concerned. Nobody's disproved what he's saying. Nobody's come forward to do that. So with that in mind, and yes, now that I am in it, thank you, gentlemen, it's quite the ride. And my next step is going to be continuing to take pieces of John's story, which I have been doing, just like we did with the starships, to prove that they're building those, to prove that there's military funding in the millions of dollars, to prove that there are new training facilities that include psychic training, et cetera, that are new, beyond what they've had all along. I want to prove these aspects, and get inside of that a little bit more, and continue to follow up with any witnesses who come forward. And, you know, I also want people to know that they, you know, people that do come forward, we do not have to use their names. We can keep their privacy at hand so that they don't have to worry about their names getting out on the air or in any tabloids. I will honor that. And I know everyone here, Jerry and John, yeah, I know you guys will too. So it's just a matter of proceeding forward. And as a matter of fact, I agree with John when he says this could really snowball, because once you have, it's the butterfly effect. Once you have people coming forward, then others aren't so afraid. Because I'll tell you, one thing that sticks with me with Nancy is that Nancy kept saying to me, you know, I hope you don't think I'm crazy. And I think that is a blanket clause for a lot of people who have sightings. They just don't want to share it because maybe somebody will think they're nuts. And that sanity is a big concern in the social, you know, aspect of our life and how we've been trained to be, no matter if you're military or just a civilian. It's just a social conditioning. So, you know, I always let people know that, as a matter of fact, they're not crazy. They're just aware. They're aware of their surroundings. And that's a totally sane, sane thing to be. So one of the biggest values in martial arts is knowing your surroundings. There's nothing wrong with that. And so if you happen to look up in the sky and you happen to see something and you're able to jot it down or record it or share it or get another friend with you to see what these things might be, these crafts, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. We've been taught that there's something wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with that. So we're just going to continue forward. I have no reason not to. I just think that John is an amazing, let's not forget, you know, military man who had an event happen to him that is absolutely mind-boggling, and I think he deserves to at least get a piece of this puzzle solved for his own sanity. So I'll continue this as long as we can.
Okay, John and Roxy, we're going to leave it there except for one final thing. We have been searching, as you know, John, for a long time trying to find someone who would back up your story. And we found something on a forum on the Internet in which the guy, his handle is Ocelot. And he says basically he was there at Fort Benning in jump school, and they were in military formation when this happened. He said the objects, there were about six of them, were zipping through the sky. Military helicopters seemed to be engaging the disc. One disc that seemed out of control or out of sync with the other objects swooped down toward us. Every soldier in our formation dropped to the ground. They were all asleep, including the top sergeant. So, John, that's a little bit of a validation of your story. Please, folks, if you know anything about this story, contact me, Jerry@JerryPippin.com. Or if you want to call, just go to my website, and the number to the office is there. Thanks, everyone. And we hope Nancy and her friend are okay. And anybody else at Fort Benning that knows anything about this, please contact us. Until next time, thank you for listening. This ends our current series on what's happening at Fort Benning. I'm Jerry Pippin.